Welcome to The Clean Slate, a podcast where we chat about facilities management, commercial cleaning, and keeping the working world safe, clean, efficient, and free from risk. I'm your host, Trista Sobeck.
Hi, and welcome to The Clean Slate. Today on the podcast, we're going to be talking with Amanda Tease, who's Director of School Business Operations at Spring Ed, which is a private school company that oversees many brands of schools throughout the United States. And Amanda serves as the liaison between the business operations and the administrative side. So she has a lot of hats that she wears and a lot of items that she has to keep her eye on, one of them being facility management and what that looks like. So enjoy our conversation with Amanda Tease.
Welcome, Amanda. This is Amanda Tease. We have with us today on the Clean Slate. She is Director of School Business Operations with Spring Ed, which is a large education company organization that has many different schools under its umbrella. And to that end, Amanda wears many different hats and juggles many different bowls or plates and kids in her school. So she oversees the entire business operation, including helping make choices when it comes to facility management. So we're going to talk to her and find a little bit about what it takes to be head of the operations for some schools and what kind of facility management goes into that. Welcome and thank you so much for your time, Amanda.
Ah, it's a pleasure.
So can you tell us, what was the first thing you did today when you sat down at work?
We are working on our capital expenditures budgets for next year. The fiscal year is coming up very, very soon. And so one of the things that I do is I put together sort of our budget requests by division for how we would like to see our capital expenditure funds spent. So I'm given a budget, and then we have to sort of figure out how to parse that out to schools and figure out what we can get done versus what we can't get done. What's the most important? What's the most pressing?
What was the first fun thing you did today?
Honestly, I kind of like that. It's all tied up in a spreadsheet that I've been building for 3 years. I work on it with our vice presidents, and I've turned it into a little bit of a fun exercise. One of the vice presidents just told me when we were going through it last week, she said, well, this is kind of like going shopping. So it is. It's kind of like I give her a selection of projects that have been requested and have it set up so that she can kind of just go through and I have it all calculating for her so that she knows where she is as far as the budget goes. And she gets to make those choices.
Right. So, yeah. So you had to make it. You got a chance to make it fun and interesting.
I did.
Yes, no, and then see exactly how much she's spending along the line.
That's right.
Okay, that is fun. I can see that.
It is kind of fun. Yeah. And then as they get approved, so the president then sent me an email a little while ago and told me that our requests, that what we had sort of gone through and selected, they've all been approved. So the fun part is now we get to tell the schools what their projects are for next year. So those, the awnings that they want and the shade structures and the play structures, turf, all kinds of things that they've been hoping to use to improve their schools and attract more students or make it more comfortable for their existing students, I get to call and sort of be Santa Claus and tell them all of the good things. I'm not going to make any phone calls to the ones that say that they don't get what they wanted. I'm only going to call the ones that are getting things. So, but it's good. It's a lot of shuffling through and trying to make sure we find balance.
That's exciting. So what can you walk myself and our listeners through a little bit about what you do? Because I know there are many, many schools under your umbrella, Spring Ed as the parent company. And then there's all these schools and you have to oversee how it's run and the facilities of that. And so can you touch upon that a little bit?
Sure. So I'm working up at our home office level. And essentially what I do is I kind of work as a liaison, a go-between between sort of our business people, our business offices, if it's facilities or accounting, legal, all of those different home office teams, and then our schools. And I think we're talking about this before, that it's almost like those two speak a little bit of a different language, and I maybe speak both. So I originally, my history, I come from running schools. I started at the bottom. I started as the front office lady and worked all the way up through every job I could have administratively. I did teach art. I taught art for years, and then administratively I worked as a front office lady, as the head of school's assistant, as a school director, a program director. And then I opened a school in Thailand with my wife, one of our schools. And we had 3 years over there where we got to learn everything on our own because we were off by ourselves.
Like, here's a school, open it. And by the way, it's in Thailand, so learn some Thai while you're at it.
You have no idea what you're doing. Exactly. And then came back here, and she came back to be a head of school at one of our new schools that we were opening, and I moved up to our home office level. So what's nice is I remember what it's like to be in a school. So it's beneficial when somebody maybe from accounts payable says, I need all of the heads of schools to put together these reports and have it to me by tomorrow. I can be the person that says, you know what? It's actually report card season, and the heads of schools are generating report cards, or they're having assemblies, or you know what? That's just not a realistic thing to ask for them. Or vice versa. I can go to the schools and say, hey, you guys, I need you to get this information. They can't pay the bills unless you're taking care of this information. And it's a nice line that I walk, where I can sort of walk between the two and coordinate. And for me, a big part of what I was asked to do was to create systems. So a lot like the capital expenditure system, I'm creating a process or a system that sort of smooths things and helps this go more smoothly, because we're expanding. We're getting bigger all the time. And so we need it where it's not quite so reliant on one person, and making systems that allow the schools to run smoothly and communicate.
Right. That's super exciting. And what an amazing opportunity that you kind of held all the positions within the school. So, you know, all those answers, like right off the bat, because it's part of what you've done. Well,
I'm learning a lot all the time. I think that that's one of the things about this job is I think you have to have the personality type when you come up against something that you don't know. You have to be able to say, like, I don't know, but I want to know, and I want to figure this out so that I know the next time.
Right, right. Yeah. And I think it's hard to remember, or we all need to remember that there are systems in place to get things done. And when you are in a position that you're in, or even a facilities director or manager at a location or at a school, there are systems that you need to constantly learn and make up new ones too, all the time.
And they change. Yes, they change, especially with a growing company. You know, when I started before spring, I was part of a much smaller network of schools. We were one, and then we expanded, and then eventually Spring bought that network of schools. We were making it up as we went along, but we would try out a system. And it honestly was a strength. Our flexibility and our willingness to try new systems has made it so that when somebody comes to me and says, I need you to look at this differently, my brain is just trained to be able to look at something, assess it, and then assess it differently. So it's been hard, but definitely I think helped me a lot in the long run professionally.
Yeah. Yeah. That whole skill, or flexing that muscle of systems thinking, is definitely something that I think, you know, people who are over a facility really need, because you have many different systems within that and everybody running their own system. So there's always going to be ways to kind of sharpen that saw and make that system better.
It was something when we first opened our school in Thailand. It was a small school when we opened. We only had 100 and something students, but the capacity for the school was 1600, is 1600. And so when I was designing sort of a process or trying to create a good habit, I would say, like, I understand, for instance, I understand that you can personally call every parent right now. We only have 116 students. But when we have 1,000 students, you won't be able to. So we need to create and build a system that speaks to that so that I understand that I'm setting this school up for its future and making sure that it's effective in the future.
Right, right. And so you're setting it up for the future and for future success, right?
Absolutely. And I think oftentimes the mark of your own success as an administrator is knowing that if you were to not be there that day, it would run smoothly without you.
And you can be happy with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. If everything relies on you, you're not doing it quite right.
What are all the schools that are under your umbrella that you have?
So under mine right now, I've actually moved over so that I am working specifically just with Stratford schools. So now I am managing the Stratford schools. But we are networked within our division. We also have some Maryhill schools, Chesterbrook schools. We have a Latois, Evergreen, and Brighton are here up in Washington State where I live. Paragon, Park Maitland is in Florida. So we have a lot of different sort of smaller brands that we own and operate. What's nice is a lot of those ones are independent. And so they operate pretty independently within their own systems. And we are, as their parent company, kind of trying to help guide them. We have it allows them sort of the benefit of a larger company with more resources, and yet they're still able to do a ton of the management on their own.
So are these private schools, private or charter?
All of these are private schools. Yes.
Okay.
This is also one of the private schools. So that's where I started, is with Basis Schools.
Okay.
And then moved up into Spring when Spring bought their private schools.
Okay. I see. Now I have the lay of the land.
And it's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah.
You don't always understand it here.
and you're across the United States, so it's
we're across and in several schools in China and our school in Thailand.
Okay, that's really, really exciting. So what do you find is your biggest challenge as someone who is creating the systems, overseeing all this, opening new schools, I would imagine, on the regular? You know, what's your biggest challenge?
I think with a lot of things, it's communication. Getting people to feel comfortable using the systems that we've created. And the way that you do that is to communicate clearly with them. Let them know that what you're doing, that what you're trying to give them is trying to make their life easier, not trying to ask them for more. When you're talking about school principals or you're talking about assistant principals, they're busy. Nobody will argue about that, right? That school principals are being given not enough resources, not enough staffing, and they're busy. And so my job is to try to make their life easier, not to make their life more complicated. So when I send them an email, this is going to happen. I actually laugh with them all the time because I know I've been in that position where that email comes in and I'm like, I don't have time to eat lunch, much less give you one more thing that you want. And so I try very hard to make it clear to them that, like, my work, I'm going to front load some work, but eventually I will make your life so much easier. And I'm trying to improve something, some sort of outcome that they're getting. I'm trying to make sure that I'm improving it on the back end to make things a little bit less work for them.
Right,
but
right.
Convincing them sometimes.
I promise it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the facilities management part of these schools, how does that work? How do you choose different companies, or how do you do some schools
have their own kind of flavor that they like to use, or?
It just depends. Now for Stratford, on the part that I am now moving over to really take control of, Stratford is a lot more centrally run, where our home office does a ton more of the sort of non-academic work. We really want our principals, our heads of schools to be really school focused and really on site. And so for that, I will then do a ton of the work. Part of the operations team and the people who are really running this are our regional directors. Those regional directors are the ones that are in contact with heads of schools every day, who make big decisions, big level decisions for those specific schools. I work with them to sort of bring the business pieces in. So I talk to the regional directors more often than I would talk directly to the schools, although I do talk to the schools when I need something, but I'm more apt to maybe go to a regional director. Those regional directors are working with their heads of schools, their facility directors, the things that are going on in the school. But I oftentimes am just telling, it's easier for me. I only have 3 regional directors. I have 29 schools. So they can then disseminate, sort of cascade down that information.
So then I would assume change management is a big part of your skill repertoire, where you're, you know, if you did decide if one school decided to change a company that they're working with, you know, what does that look like? And do you help with that?
I do. And it depends on what we're looking at specifically. Obviously, for OpenWorks, I have OpenWorks, a master services agreement with OpenWorks, where all of my Stratford schools work with them. And I manage that. I would be the person that speaks mostly. If anything's going on, the school would contact me. I would contact my representative at OpenWorks. They day-to-day stuff, they're dealing with it on their own. But there are different, as far as landscapers, that's something that the schools are able to choose on their own. And I don't have like an engineering group or a team for that. So they do that. They manage that on their own. I would help them if they needed a contract for something, some sort of a business legal contract. And I would work with our legal team to get the contracts.
Right. So how do you manage all these schools? And let's really dive into what that looks like with managing your, you know, the Stratford schools and then the other schools and working with OpenWorks. Like, what does that really look like?
So I wish we could do this with all of our departments, quite frankly. I wish that we did, because I think it does take quite a bit of responsibility and time away from the school leaders having to do it. Having it centralized, having me have Dan and Jacqueline, that's fantastic. It allows me to, here's an example. I am getting ready to have a quarterly business review with OpenWorks about our janitorial service. And that's something I put together, a survey. I send it out to my schools. They let me know what's going on. It's a super easy thing for them to do. They also know that if they have something, they can just shoot me an email. And I'm taking a ton of time away from them. I can tell you, when I was running the school, I didn't have that. So I was constantly trying to deal with, when is the janitor here? What are the hours look like? Am I under budget? Am I over budget? Do I need more school supplies? What's going on? Am I displeased? If I'm displeased, who do I contact, and what are my options? And I don't have school leaders that are having to spend their time doing that. I will tell you, they do meet for half an hour once a month with Chris. But that's something that is actually making their life easier as well. So,
and Chris is the regional.
He's your regional now. I think Chris Fernandez, it changed.
Okay. He's your regional performance manager.
He took it upon himself to make an offer that he offer a half an hour for every one of my schools where he meets with them on a Zoom call every month. And he has, it was great. He developed 6 questions and I would have told him that that wasn't necessary, except it's great because he gets on this phone call with the school leader. And if you ask the school principal, how's everything going? Is anything wrong? 99% of the time that school principal is going to say like, no, everything's fine. Thank you so much. And they're hoping to get to the next thing. Unless there is a major problem and they have a gripe, and then they will have a book for you of the things that have gone wrong. But in general, you know, they're not thinking about that. So he has these questions that he asks and they're really fantastic because they focus. Are your bathrooms clean? And then that, you know what? Actually, let me tell you, are your sinks clean? Are your bathrooms clean? Are your supplies refilled and being properly managed? And he just has this great list of, I think it's 5 or 7 questions. And then at the end, anything else that I need to know? Is there anything else you want to talk about? And so they can move through their conversation as quickly as they want. They can spend time on it. I've never heard him cut anybody off. He's incredibly flexible. It's great. It was absolutely his idea. He does it. And it is one of the things that has improved the relationship between the schools and their cleaners the most. So, and that's not me. I can sit on that meeting if I want to. I'm invited to all of the meetings and I will go to a meeting if Chris asks me if he says he's having a hard time with a school or there's a problem he'd like me to sit in on it, or if the school calls me and says, hey, I'm super frustrated, there's this thing I want to talk about, and then I could sit in and kind of give everybody ideas about how we can come to a solution. But very rarely do I need to do that. We got this set up and rolling. I sat on the first few months and now they handle it, but it's great.
Yeah, I love that idea because you're right. When you ask, even if you ask somebody like, how are you doing? I'm fine. you have to ask the questions of how was this? How was this? How was, you know, and get people thinking, because oftentimes, especially with janitorial and commercial cleaning, a company doesn't know that there's issues until it's too late, you know, and the customer has already decided, oh, well, I'm so unhappy, you know, I'm moving on. But you have to stay up to date every single day. Like, let's think about your bathrooms. Like, no one's really thinking about bathrooms, but you have to get somebody in the mind frame to think about what's been done.
That's right. And I'm dealing with things up at my level, like, a school called and said, their bathrooms are a mess. It's not the janitor's fault. It's during the school day when you have 1,000 kids in and out of a bathroom, you need a day porter. And so they call me and then I'm the one that can go up and call Dan and get a proposal, go to my vice president and say, oh, please, please, can we have a funding for this? And so I can deal with that. And I just get to, again, call the school and say, guess what? I got you a date.
I got you somebody to come in and take care of.
That's right.
And Dan, just to clarify, Dan and Jackie are your sales consultants.
They're my everything.
They're your everything.
They do everything. And Jacqueline and I go through all of the budgets. We settle on not only the routine janitorial service, but the rates for our day porters. Also, you guys handle our supply ordering. So we are sort of an older company that have been with you guys for a while. And before you switched your model up, we had you guys always handling our ordering for us. I don't want my head to schools to order school supplies. They won't know how to do it. Some of them will be great. Some of them will not order and they'll end up with no toilet paper. And some of them will stockpile and go so far over budget that I can't sustain it. And so when you guys switched models, I don't even remember who it was that came to me. I think Michael Reef came to me and said, you're not going to like this. We're switching. I'll make sure that we can stay with your model. It was so great. You guys bent over backwards. So now your on-site managers manage our supply orders. Our schools have no idea that anything changed. The supplies show up. They're there. Our schools have no idea where it comes from. They just are there. And that's exactly what I needed to be.
And that's exactly what we need too. You know, from our standpoint too, it's like, you know, we just want it to show up for you. You know, it should be kind of invisible because you don't need to be dealing with the headache of ordering, you know, soap and trash can liners. And that's a whole, you know, process system, if you will, in itself. So, you know, it should just show up and be there. And we aim for that in healthcare as well. You know, anything where you're dealing with a high touch people arena, you know, you really want it to just be seamless.
And that was really important to us. So I would rather deal with that up at my level and then not have my schools be distracted by it.
Right, right. Exactly. Great. You mentioned funding. So when it comes to funding, I know we have, OpenWorks has another customer that is a charter school, and they are working tirelessly to get more funding from the government regarding, you know, supplies and things. I think this is in the East Coast, essentially. So when it comes to funding, you know, what does that look like? And how hard is it to kind of fight for facilities management line item?
Yeah, I'm lucky. I'm in a private school network now. So we're building that into the tuition costs. So in a sense, we can sort of anticipate what our enrollment is, and then that's all not a decision at my level. I am way down below that level, which it's cascaded down to me. I'm happy to not be up in those high-level meetings. But I can tell you, when I started at a charter school. It was in Arizona, and I'm sure charter school laws are different, and sometimes charter schools in some states are tied to districts. But in Arizona, one of the things that made a charter school so challenging is that they are not given facilities budgets. So, and I think that's not an uncommon thing for charter schools. And so they really are having to operate on these shoestring budgets. It is awful. It was when we were in charter, we were oftentimes, we would laugh and say that as a school principal, when you go to hire somebody, you say, who in admin's the janitor? Now we have janitors. We have you guys that come in every night. But if you ask a school principal in a charter school who the janitor during the day is, everybody raises their hand because they don't have the budgets oftentimes to sustain day porters and those sorts of things. So you've got your principals that are in there trying to take care of this. Hopefully they worked with you guys and they figured out how to get a day porter in there, because it changed my life in the charter school. When we finally got a day porter on our campus, it made everything different. I was no longer in there mopping up classrooms, and I've done it many, many times.
Yeah, that's super interesting. You know, when I heard about that issue that was going on, I was like, that's really something that I think needs to be called out, and it's an interesting talking point. So I thought I'd bring it up with you and to see what you thought, because I know you've been up and down and back and forth through education.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have people with their EDD. You have, you know, that are should be thinking about educational pedagogy, right? They should be figuring out the way to teach your children. But they are oftentimes not able to get to that because they are breaking up fights, and they are figuring out what lockers they need, and they are mopping up, you know, a classroom where a child got sick and threw up, and they don't have day porters. And they're also being children's emotional counselors. They're college counselors. And making sure that they're replying to parents in a timely manner. So it's a heck of a job.
Yeah. I mean, that's really interesting because I'm a parent. So as a parent, you know, I don't think that these are questions that you think to ask. You know, I live in Arizona, and you do have school choice. So it's like you don't have to go to your neighborhood school. But, you know, you got the public, you got the charter, you got the private. And I don't think anyone's really as a parent, you're not thinking, well, if I choose over here, their school is going to be clean all the time. You know, it just looks the way it looks, and you kind of take that for granted. So I just think that that's such an interesting thing to think about as a parent or as somebody who lives in that community. Like, is the school getting cleaned, and how is it getting cleaned, and what does that look like?
That's right. If they don't have the funding for it, do you want your teachers staying after school to clean their classrooms, or do you want them to go home and grade your child's paper? Do you want them to email you because they're tired?
Yeah, exactly. Teaching's hard. Teaching's hard. And I think to add another, you know, tasks like, you know, some of the kind of more gnarlier tasks, you know, kids get sick, you know, is kind of untenable. So, yeah.
It is. Yeah. I mean, I one of the things that I think I've learned, and it's something I people kind of laugh now when I say it, but remember, as teachers, as administrators, we're dealing with somebody's kid all the time. And what are human beings in general the most irrational about? Their children. So you're always going to be engaged when you're engaging with a parent and there's something going on. It is always an emotional interaction. So it's really something that I think you learn the longer you're an administrator, to try really hard to be thoughtful and sympathetic to that, but also try really hard to work with them in a way where you're taking a lot of emotion out of it, because they come in, they're not coming in just, well, and sometimes they come in just to say hello and thank you. But most of the time when they're coming in to talk to your school principal, they're not coming in just to say, hey, great job. They're coming because they have a problem. And it's why, you know, originally before I was ever a teacher, I was a police officer, and people will they think like, whoa, what a gigantic jump. Like, what a crazy different thing. It's actually really not, because oftentimes as a police officer, nobody calls a police officer to just go and say hello because they're having a great day. They call you because they have an issue they need solved. When they're coming to the school, they're coming to the school because they have an issue they need solved. So that is really, we're really just problem solvers. We're just solving different problems, hopefully in the school, maybe a little more proactively.
Right, right. And in both instances of what you've done in the past with school and police, you got a lot of emotionally charged, you know, issues going on there. So
very much so. And you just really have to learn as the person who's sort of controlling the situation to just try to really take your emotional state away from it.
Right. That's fascinating. That's fascinating. What, how did you decide to become a police officer? I'm just interested in
I was really young and I had two little girls, and at that point they were really in Arizona. It was in a growing community and they were looking for police officers, and they kind of had this interesting app. It was like, can you run this fast? Yeah. Can you, you know, climb this high? Yeah. And then do you like constitutional law? And I was like, oh, yeah. And so I responded and took a test and figured out that I was like really well qualified and really well suited to it. So it was something that just, I think you have to be a little bit nosy and curious, and you have to ultimately really, in all honesty, you have to be a problem solver. So you have to not mind being the person who everyone is coming to and saying, hey, here's my problem. Help me find a way to solve it.
Very quickly. And like very, you know, usually time is of the essence.
Yeah. You have to respond well to high intensity situations.
Yeah. That's so interesting. You're such a servant of the people, you know, with both, you know, jobs or positions that you've had. So I think that's really fascinating.
Yeah. And ultimately, when you really do think about it, not all that different.
Yeah.
Just one, being in the school is a lot more pleasant most of the time.
One would hope, yes, right?
Right.
Yeah. Can you think of anything else high level that we should touch on as far as what you do and what you do for the schools?
Honestly, talking about the budgeting, that's a big one. You know, the capital expenditures is a lot of where I spend my time. I do also work with their making sure that people who are not paying their tuition are making sure the schools are contacting people who are not paying their bills. So it was funny. I was just at a training last week, and I had two things to present. One, a reminder about the process for contacting these families and communicating with me, but then also one about their budgets for next year and things that I would be purchasing. So I got up and I said, look, I'm going to talk to you about the things I'm going to purchase for you next year. First, I'm going to give you the fun part. And I was like, but then after that, we're going to talk about what you're going to give to me. You're calling these parents.
And that's the unfun part.
That is not the fun part. That's right. But ultimately, in a private school, we have to remember, and this is hard for educators, because educators in the ones in the school, the principals, their passion is educating students, not making money. I don't care what principal you talk to. They are not there because they're trying to make a lot of money. They're there because they love kids and they love education. And so working with those educators to get them to understand, I agree, I come from that same space. However, in a private school, next year, you're going to want desks because you're going to add children. And you're going to need some books. And you would like that playground structure replaced. Well, all of those things come from, they cost money, and that money comes from tuition. And that's from tuition that parents have contracted to pay us. And unless that tuition is getting paid, we don't have the funds to pay our teachers. We don't have the funds to reinvest in the school property. And so it's good for me because I can, again, sort of be that liaison that helps them understand why it's relevant to them.
Right. Very cool. All right. Well, do you have anything else to add as far as what you do, being a police officer, being I'm fascinated.
Honestly, I was really good at that part. I couldn't shoot a gun to save my life, and I didn't want to, really.
Yeah. And You take it out. You're supposed to shoot it, right? I mean, you don't just take it out.
You know, yeah. I didn't really like that, and I had two little girls, and when I realized that the really conflict resolution could be done in a far less aggressive way, that's when educating became a better
thing. Yeah. I do have one other question. So with all the schools and the sites and the facilities that you have under your umbrella, and I know you just have the one Stratford, right, and BASIS, but does OpenWorks help you at all kind of see all those high level and how those buildings are operating? We talked about a little bit about with the products and the, you know, chemicals that we provide, but is there another way that you're able to see kind of, you know, how all the buildings are doing?
Honestly, for me, I'm working more at the contractual. So what I'm doing is I'm working up at the level where I'm looking at square footage and numbers. But what it does do is I'm the one person that hears everybody's sort of opinion. So in that sense, I get a much larger view of how OpenWorks is doing as a network. So if you have one cleaner who maybe isn't doing such a great job and that school is telling me, you know, oh, we're super frustrated, I can say, well, hold on, let me get a hold of Chris. Maybe they can switch the team out. And it's not OpenWorks as a company. It may be that team isn't doing well. But when I'm able to look at, you know, 30 different surveys and know that not, you know, most of them are very, very happy, that tells me that could be an isolated incident. So in that sense, that it really is beneficial to be able to have sort of me sitting up here looking at the bigger picture.
Yeah. And I think most models are a little bit different. You're in education and every business is different, but that's something that we really aim to do is give, you know, people at, you know, your level and higher kind of this vision of here's what's happening across all the portfolio, your entire portfolio of sites. So you can see, you know, through surveys and through conversations, you know, what's going on and what needs a little bit more attention. So you don't have to think about it and you can work on what you're supposed to be working on.
That's right. And I think the nice thing about OpenWorks is you guys, not unlike Spring, have the benefit of being a larger company with a lot of resources, and yet still really hold that very personalized feeling. You know, like when I'm talking to you and I'm talking about the people that I work with, it's a first name basis. And those are people that I am texting with, you know, and if I send a text to Dan or Jacqueline or Mike on the weekend and said, I have a school, it's flooding, I need help, I would be confident that they would answer me and say, I'm getting a hold of so-and-so and we'll get them in there. And not only that, but I know my schools could cause on from the other side, they could get a hold of their on-site manager and have it dealt with as well. So it is nice. I do really appreciate being able to feel like I have very personalized service, but you guys still have the resources that if I want a whole new team installed at a school, you guys have, you know, the resources to do that. That's right.
Yeah. And I think that's important, you know, when time is of the essence, you don't have, you know, time to just sit around and wait for signatures, right? You just got to pivot and fix it.
That's right. And, you know, at a school, I can't wait for a week.
Yeah. Right. Awesome. Well, I think those are all the questions I have. I can't think of anything else. That was rather painless.
It was painless.
We thank Amanda for her time talking to us about facility management and overseeing what it's like to work in a school and be the kind of liaison between operations and administration when it comes to private school. We also talked a bit about budgeting and line items and how important it is that your school does have that facility management line item, as charter schools don't necessarily have that all the time. So they got to make sure they have that. So we talked about some tips on finding out how to make sure your charter school has that, and also what it's like to run a big education enterprise. So thanks so much for listening to Amanda. Please like or subscribe to the Clean Slate podcast, and we'll talk to you later. Enjoying the podcast? Leave a review. To otherwise support our podcast, please share and follow us on your favorite streaming platform. You can also visit our website to find show notes and more info on each episode at www.openworksweb.com/podcast. Want to be a guest on an upcoming podcast? Check out the information in the description to apply. We'll see you next time, and remember, keep it clean!